Welcome back, folks. We are diving straight into Chapter 48 of Dungeons & Drums, entitled Manshoon. And I have to say, the temperature in Icewind Dale just went from freezing to absolutely scorching.
No kidding. We've been tracking the Zentarum subplot for a while now. Schemo's betrayal, the Doom Raiders. But this chapter felt like the Dungeon Master slammed a heavy book on the table and said, playtime is over.
Exactly. So let's set the scene. It's the first of Uktar. Doug and Delnus run into an alley and essentially run into a brick wall of martial prowess named Toshlin Yefira.
Toshlin, finally seeing her in person. She's the Zentarim Master of Arms, and the text describes her walking arsenal. Every inch of her armor has a weapon strapped to it.
And a massive 2-foot-wide great axe. Doug, bless his heart, is raging with Vesevikin's axe, but Toshlin is described as a true master. She's parrying, she's dodging, she's turning Doug's aggression against him. And to make it worse, Istrid Hornhammer, the dwarven cleric, is there slinging spells.
It's a 2-versus-2 fight that feels incredibly evenly matched. Delnus is pulling out all the stops, summoning celestial defenders, but Istrid is countering with banishment. It's high-level play.
Right, and then the reinforcements arrive. Tookie and Gabbage show up. Gabbage drops a wall of fire. Tookie is blasting with the blunderbuss. Suddenly, it's 5 against 2. Toshlin goes down to 1 knee. You think, okay, Sandy's gang has got this.
And that is exactly when everything stops, literally.
Snap. Click. Time stop.
The moment a DM describes a snap and everyone freezes except one guy, you know you are in trouble. That is a 9th-level spell, people. That is Archmage territory.
Enter Manshoon, the many-faced, the founder of the Zentarim. He just strolls through the frozen wall of fire, dismisses Delnus's summons like he's swatting flies, sets up defensive shields, and waits in the center.
He restarts time and just looks at them with this metal death mask and a golden artificial hand. The power dynamic shifts instantly. The Doom Raiders were threats. Manshoon is a calamity.
His monologue here is fascinating. He's surprisingly polite in that terrifying, I can kill you with a thought kind of way. He even compliments their competence.
Villains always love a competent enemy. It validates them. But Doug tries to get a read on him and casually asks if he's in league with Jarlaxle.
I laughed out loud at that. Doug just blurting out, so, are you buddies with the drow? And Manshoon actually pauses. He's like, wait, you know Jarlaxle? Why are you telling me this?
It really highlights that Sandy's gang is swimming with sharks now. Manshoon reveals he just wanted the Stone of Galore to find the Mythalar. He wants Ithrin. He doesn't care about the gold. He cares about remaking the world.
Let's dig into that theme for a second. Manshoon isn't just evil wizard wants to rule. His pitch is, people wield magic haphazardly. I will bring order. I will eliminate strife, crime, and free will.
It's the ultimate lawful evil pitch. He thinks the problem with the world is choice. If he becomes a god, which is his goal, he fixes everything on day one. It's chilling because he truly believes he is the hero of this story.
And then he drops the ultimatum. Give me the Codicil of the White by noon tomorrow and leave town. You get Waterdeep, I get the world.
And if they refuse, he destroys Bryn Shander. He destroys everyone they love, and then he kills them, reanimates them, and kills them again. That was a specific and visceral threat.
He teleports away, leaving them completely shaken. But here is the kicker, the investigative deep dive at the end of the chapter. How did Manshoon find them so easily?
The ring. We have to talk about the loot goblin.
Classic RPG mistake. They killed the assassin Erstal Floxen ages ago, looted a ring, and never checked it for divination magic. It's been a GPS tracker the entire campaign.
It turns out Manshoon gives these rings to his lieutenants to keep tabs on them, or anyone who kills them. It's alarming, but honestly, it's also their first real advantage.
Right, because now they know they're being tracked. They can leave the ring somewhere or send it somewhere else. It opens up the chessboard.
So now they are back at the Northlook with Valine and the disembodied Zahn, trying to figure out a plan. The list of potential allies is eclectic.
You've got Valine's kobolds, illusionary Zahn, potentially Jarlaxle, maybe even the polar werebear. They need an army by noon tomorrow.
Or they need to outsmart a wizard with 20 intelligence. They listed options. Copy the book, trap the book, ambush him, Run?
Run seems like the worst option. Manshun basically said, I will find you. Calling his bluff when he can stop time seems ill-advised.
I feel like a heist is coming, or a very elaborate trap involving that tracking ring. They have the codicil, which means they're the only ones who can open the path to Ithrin.
Leverage, they have it. But they are holding a grenade, and the pin is pulled. Chapter 48 really raised the stakes. We aren't just fighting for 10 towns anymore. We're fighting for the Weave itself.
Noon tomorrow. That is the deadline. I can't wait to see if Sandy's gang folds or goes all in.
Knowing Doug, they're going all in. Thanks for listening to this recap of Manshun. Catch you next time for the showdown.